Blog Talk Radio.
Has a remedy that I could use to live my life clean. But every time I walk, I just keep falling down. Living in my righteousness just kept me on the ground. Then I realized that God was right there waiting on me. Saying, son, turn it over to me, turn it over to me. I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your nail-scarred hands. I want to live for you until my days are done. With the Lord, why he didn't take the sinful part of my flesh. He told me that the reason why it's there is to let me know that I am imperfect. He wants me to stay on my knees like a father. He wants to mold me and make me. I'll always be the clay. So mold me and make me and do what you say. Jesus, you're perfect, that is what I need. I will set you by my plans to stay right at your feet. Oh, oh Lord, please fight my battles for me. Oh Lord, fight for me. Please fight for me. Oh, I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your name.
Was in place. Many people died and never saw this day.
Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host, Brother Mike, and it is a pleasure to be here once again with you. For those who are out there listening worldwide here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com, tonight we're going to have our guest, Kingdom of God Ministries, is going to be with us tonight here on Live Deliverance, and they're going to be giving and teaching as the Lord leads them. And so we're going to have a teaching coming from the Montgomerys of Kingdom of God Ministries. But before we get started with the teaching tonight, we would like to give space for Brother John. Pastor John Durden has a couple of shout-outs to a few of his pastoral friends. And then once he is done with his shout-outs, we're going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Kingdom of God Ministries pastor and evangelist Montgomery. So let's go ahead. Brother John, can you hear me?
Amen, amen, amen. I want to give a shout-out to a couple of buddies of mine. That's Pastor Bollington and then and Deacon Roberts and Pastor Watson and Pastor Carmichael. God bless you, and a special blessing to Deacon Roberts. Glad you're in tonight, my brother. Enjoy. God bless every one of you. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. All right, folks, let's go ahead and bring Pastor and Evangelist Montgomery online. Pastor and Evangelist Montgomery, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. All right,
very
folks.
Good.
Kingdom of God.
All right,
ministries.
Well, we will open up with prayer. Let Pastor open with prayer, and then we'll go into the Word. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to deliver your word on tonight. Father God, we ask that you touch the hearers of the word, give them revelation of the word, and bless them considerably, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Amen. We just want to thank you again for the opportunity to join you on tonight. I hope everyone had a blessed day on today, and we just want to thank all the associate pastors on tonight, and we give respect to you and your proper places. Amen. Amen. So tonight we will be talking on Galatians 5, carnal Christians, work of the flesh, and witchcraft. Amen. And we wanted to kind of elaborate on that a little bit because, you know, in today's society we have a lot of Christians, and I use that slightly because a lot of people nowadays call themselves Christians, but the Bible say by their fruit you shall know them. But everybody nowadays want to say they're Christian, you know, but they want to still hold on to the world. However, I guess get the Christian benefit, you know. So we're coming out of, first of all, I want to just thank you for your opportunity and your time. We won't be before you long. We will just go as the Lord lead us. Again, I am Evangelist Kathy Montgomery and my husband, Pastor Bobby Montgomery. Amen. The first scripture I will be coming out of is Romans 8:13. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm coming out of the King James Version. Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, that's pretty straightforward. He said, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Talking about a spiritual death. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify your deeds of the body, you shall live. Then we will go over here to Matthew. Matthew, I'm going through a lot of scriptures tonight, so just follow along. Matthew 7:23, King James Version. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. So I wanted to bring that out because we can sit up in the church, we can go through the motions, we can look holy, we can even act holy. But God said, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye work iniquity. Iniquity is sin. Amen? So let's talk a little bit. I noticed that my scripture is, my title is Carnal Christians, Works of the Flesh, and Witchcraft. A lot of times when you think about witchcraft, you think about a woman with a hat on, black dress, black suit. Witchcraft is deeper than that. And we're going to dive a little deeper into the true meaning of witchcraft. Yeah, there are some incantations and spells and everything associated on the deeper side. But you could be sitting up in church and practicing witchcraft. Evangelist, what are you talking about? And that's why we're going to bring it out in the scriptures tonight. So hold tight, because hopefully tonight we'll get some delivered. Might even be for me. But, you know, as we teach the word, I ask that the word find me first. And, Lord, if there's anything in me that shouldn't be, you take it out. You know, the old saying, we used to sing, take it out and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. That's my prayer tonight. Because I don't want to just be faking the funk, you know, going through the motions. But then when I get before my holy king, he say, you profess, you knew me, but I'm going to tell you, paraphrasing, depart. Ye work iniquity. Amen? Witchcraft is Satan's controlling force that attacks your mind. Now, I know Pastor Overton has taught a lot on the mind, but we're coming with this perspective as well. It comes from through the flesh, the fallen nature of man. It controls through condemnation, manipulation, intimidation, insecurity, and fears of all kinds. Amen? Witchcraft, it also... attacks not only motivate, you know, the pew or the people that sits in the pew, but it can also come through preachers. Did you know that? Preachers can be standing in the pulpit practicing witchcraft. It allows themselves to be influenced by their own flesh. And we see so much of that on televangelists today. It's all about them. They strut around like some peacocks. It ain't about God. It's about them. Me, me, me. How can I get more? I never get enough. Amen? They allow themselves to be influenced by their own flesh instead of being influenced by the Holy Ghost. See, the flesh kills, saints. And if you continually walking after the flesh, he said it will destroy you. Amen? Let's go over here to Romans 8:13. Or did I read that already? I believe I did, yeah. If we live by the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. This is a daily task for Christians. No one can say they have arrived. We die daily. Paul say we die daily. Things you should be peeling it off like an onion with layers. Whatsoever thing that beset you, lay it aside. Crucify the flesh. Amen? If you don't need to receive anything that comes from the flesh, then it sounds like you holy. You don't need it. You know, and this is the attitude of a lot of people today. They'll say, oh, I'm good. Oh, I'm straight. That's the word they use. But they be fornicating. They be living in adultery. They be lying. They have envy, jealousy. Come on, I'm going to go there. Yeah, jealousy, sin right up in the church. You're jealous of your brother, jealous of your sister. See, these are forms of witchcraft that people need to deal with it. Amen? Like I said, none of us is perfect, but we should strive after Christ, a daily lifestyle to live after Christ. Amen? So let's go over here in Galatians. This is my text tonight. Galatians, I'm coming out of Galatians 5:19 through 21. It reads as such. And I know you know this scripture, but we will dive a little deeper into this scripture on tonight. The works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. Okay, we all know what adultery is. Adultery is sleeping with another man or woman that is married, and you're not their spouse. Bottom line. I don't know how you can justify it. Well, God knows my heart. No, you're in adultery. If you're sleeping with somebody else other than your husband or wife, that's adultery. Married. Then we go to fornication. Fornication is two people who aren't married and having sex. But you're calling yourself Christian. Yeah, I'm going there because I see so much of it in the church today. Adulterers, fornicators. Nobody says the pastors don't preach on fornication. But they want your tithe. Look, God don't look at your sacrifice if you're living in sin. You need to lay that thing at the altar. Make right with God, then present your tithe or your offerings before the Holy King. Amen. People don't take God serious. They don't reverence him. They don't look at him as a holy God. God is holy. Amen? Then he says uncleanness. That's all kinds of perversion and things that people do that you know, pornography, all kinds of lewd behavior that goes with uncleanness. And that list goes on and on. Then we have lasciviousness. That's in Jude 1 and 4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God to lasciviousness, and denying the holy Lord God, our Lord and Savior. You see that every day, cut on the TV, cut on the TV. You see proclaiming preachers who have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. The Bible called them ungodly. I don't care what title they have. If they're practicing in this manner, he said certain men crept in unaware. Why did he say they was unaware? Because there's no discernment. Nowadays, people put anybody up with a title. Look, we don't get hooked up on titles. He said, your gift shall make room for you. Yes, if I'm an evangelist, I should walk in the honor of the evangelist. If you call yourself an apostle, you should walk in that manner, blameless. I didn't say perfect, but the world should be able to look at your life like it's a book and say, I know these men and women are men and women of God. I'm not going to act one way in church, and then when I get out of church, I'm acting another way. That's hypocrisy. Amen? Let's go on. And then we have idolatry. And Lord, we make idols out of anything. We make idols out of our pastor. We make idols out of our spouse, out of our children, out of our job, out of our looks. Yeah, I said that too. I'm reminded of an old Greek fable where we, what was the guy who would just look at himself in the mirror in the water?
Narcissist,
where we get the word narcissist. You know, a narcissist is somebody that's totally hooked up on himself. Well, Greek mythology, this guy, a king, a prince, or whatever, he would go down to the lake every day. And back then, they didn't have mirrors. So one day, he happened to see his reflection in the water. And he fell in love with himself. My God, don't we have that today?
Not right now.
Peacocking preachers. The one young man here in Georgia. I mean, he couldn't hardly teach the word for looking at himself and patting on his hair. But yet we put these people up in these titles, and he called himself an apostle. It's a mockery to the church. And then we have witchcraft. And I'm going to go deeper into the witchcraft part. But let's continue. Hatred. You're sitting up in church. You hate your brother. You hate your sister. You can't even get past for what somebody did 20 years ago. Look at what we just had in the news. Where the doctor, this young man found a doctor that operated on his mother 20 years ago. He waited 20 years, hunt the doctor down, shoot the doctor, and kill the doctor. Now, this was 20 years ago. He harbored that stuff in his heart.
That's right.
And we have Christians sitting up in church, singing holy praises to Jehovah, and you're sitting up there hating your brother. We got to do some soul searching on tonight, saints. Then we have variance, V-A-R-I-A-N-C-E. That's the state or fact of disagreeing or quarreling. You see more confusion and strife in the church. It should not be named among us as Christians. We should be meek, easily to get along with. But I see more fighting and fussing and confusion. And we say where there's confusion and what? Where there's confusion and strife, there is every evil work. We've had people so jealous that they get set up in the church and they think you want their church. How can I just, let's be real. If God called you to pastor over a church, how do you say that's my church? I thought the church belonged to God. Christ is the head of the church. How can you monopolize the body of Christ? How can you call members my members? They're not yours, they're God's. Yeah, I'm coming straight tonight because I see so many pastors abuse the sheep, my members. No, they're not your members. Now, they can labor with you, but you can't take ownership. That's witchcraft. You can't take ownership over anyone. Not even my spouse. And I've been married to him for 45 years, but I can't say, I own him. No, I don't own him. He his own person. I don't own my kids. I got three grown sons. They're their own person. I'm not going to try to control and manipulate my children. They make their own choices. We gave them the word. We preached the word to them. They grew up in the church. But after that, they have to stand before God themselves.
Amen.
This is why I'm pleading to some of my brothers and sisters and people that I know that you're living contrary to all that God has called you to do. And God has said, come out from among them, be ye separate. Come out from the world. Don't let the world dictate to you how a Christian should live. Of all people, you should be showing them how Christians live, how they should be living by your lifestyle. You shouldn't pattern yourself after the world. Whatever the world do, then you find yourself doing. No, it should be the other way around. We should be models of what the world see. We should have the best marriages. The children should be in order. Like I said, once they get grown, they're on their own. But when they're young, disciplined, wives in order, husbands in order. Look, I'm just going back old school. Because I see folks so raggedy nowadays, it saddens me. And I have to ask them, you say you're a Christian? Have you received since you believed? Because some of you are acting like you ain't received nothing. You ain't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Something ain't right. Let's go on. I talked about hatred. I talked about variance. Now here's the word. It's emulations. And the definition of emulations, obsolete, ambitious, or envious, rivalry. Ambition or endeavor to equal or excel others as an achievement. Do you hear this all the time? Like I just said about my church, and I want to build the biggest church, and I want to have, here we go again, I want to have the biggest church, and I want to have 50,000 members. I want to be like T.D. Jakes. I want to be like Joel Osteen. You hear it all the time. So you got these little up-and-coming little preachers, and you notice when they've been groomed by one of those preachers because they start acting just like them. They're avarice, envious, covetous. I want the biggest house. I want to drive the Rolls Royce. You seen that on this mess Oprah had, what, Preachers of L.A.? That was a mockery to the body of Christ. They riding around in Lamborghinis, and that was a mockery. The church should have shut them down, and I think we did. I don't even know if they're going to air again this year. I hope not. It was a mess. So that is emulation. Then we have wrath, which you know what that is. I don't even have to elaborate on. Then you have strife. Like I said, contention, strife. Oh, so-and-so got a position in the church, and I didn't get a position. Or so he boy, he think he all that. And you see a lot of it in the choir. I don't know why the devil used the choir a lot of times. Folks fall out. Maybe somebody can sing better than them. Look, this is elementary. This is foolishness. And I can tell how mature you are as a Christian, how you respond to certain situations. Because a mature person wouldn't even entertain some of this foolishness. Like I said, we had a pastor showing you, like I said, just because you had the title of a pastor don't mean you're mature. But he accused us of trying to take, here we go again, his church. And if you know the Montgomery, look, I don't want nothing you got. There's too much in the kingdom for everybody for me to try to take what you have. I don't want it. Matter of fact, we have dealt with church for over 40 years, and we've seen some things in the church, in the body of Christ. I'm not sitting here talking off the top of my head. I have experience. I have seen some things. But did that deter my walk in Christ? What did we say last night? Neither depth nor height nor famine, it won't separate me from the love of God. I just know there are some shortcomings on you. So you know what we did? Since you accuse us of wanting your church, we will let you have your church. And we stepped on, shake the dust from our feet, and we kept walking. Amen? And then you have sedition. Definition of sedition is the crime of creating a revolt, disturbance, or violence against lawful civil authority with the intent to cause its overthrow or destruction. Compare criminal and sabotage. Now, you know, we shouldn't have no business out there riding, breaking windows. Yeah, I know it's been a lot of things going on with the police today, but not all police are bad. And some of the actions that has been, presented on some of these people, it might be questionable. But as a Christian, we shouldn't be out there breaking no windows. Now, we can do it the legal way, but I'm not going out there throwing bricks through the police station. And my brother-in-law was a police chief of police for 30 years. He was an honorable man. So you can't say that all police are bad, okay? I wanted to bring out this young man in the Bible. His name is Demas, D-E-M-A-S, or Demas, D-E-M-O-S. And he was mentioned by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament of the Bible. And he appeared to have been involved in the ministry for some time. And you might be saying, Evangelist, where are you going with this? Well, I'm going to tell you about this young man. Demas once walked with Paul, was a fellow worker, according to Philemon 1:24. Could you read that for me?
Yes, Marcus, Articus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers.
Could you read that again, please?
Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers.
Okay, that's Philemon 1:24. Now we're going to turn over to Colossians 4:14. And this was mentioned by Luke the physician. Demas was also mentioned in Colossians, read that for me.
It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you.
Okay, and now he was mentioned over in 2 Timothy. That is over in 2 Timothy 4:10.
And it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia.
Okay, and this is what I wanted to bring up. Demas had talked with the apostles. This is what carnality will do to you. You can be high in the church. People look up to you. You're walking with some of the elders. And because of the cares of the world, it can choke out the word. Demas, when he got to Thessalonica, there was a lot of paganism, a lot of lewd living, and Demas forsook Paul. He went on back out in the world.
And that sure did.
Because the world looked more attractive to him. Now, you know, and when I read that, my heart was kind of grieved. Like, this guy was mentioned in the Bible at one time, running with the big guy, so to speak, or big dog, so to speak. And this is how he's remembered. As desertion, leaving his post to go out in the world. How many of us are like that today? God called you in the ministry to do a work in the ministry, but because you get caught up in the cares of the world, you forsake what God called you to do, and you go back looking out in the world. Will your name be in the book of life?
Mm-hmm.
Or will God write you down as a deserter?
All right.
Carnal Christians. I don't see nowhere in the Bible where God said, unless you repent, then your name ain't going to be in the book of life. He didn't say Demas' name was written in the book of life.
That's right.
Matter of fact, Paul mentioned him because Paul said he loved this world. The cares of the world choked out the word.
Right.
You're not entangled with the yoke of bondage. And he deserted Paul. You see what I'm saying? If you are caught up in all kinds of cares of this world, the things of God don't move you. Corner Christians, they don't even want to talk about God. Matter of fact, some of them I've seen get mad when you talk about God. You know why? Because your lifestyle is convicting them.
Mm-hmm.
They were the main ones on the forefront wanting to stone Jesus. Kill them. Kill them. Get rid of them. Because shut them up. We don't want to hear that. And then you have heresies. That's throughout, oh, my God, in the last 40 years, we've seen so much heresy. They don't even teach the sound doctrine foundations of Jesus Christ. Heresies mean dissensions, unorthodoxy, apostasy. We see a lot of apostasy, New Age, postmodernism, mysticism. Goes on, and it's right there identified as Christianity. Even they call now Christian yoga. And there's so much behind yoga come from Hinduism. You should not be sitting up in church practicing no yoga. There's other ways you can meditate. He said meditate on the word. But this is just channeling, opening your mind up to receive other deities in your spirit. Look, demon spirit, that's what it is. It's just demons. But people, everything the world have, you adapt it and you bring it in the church. Some things need to stay in the world. You should not bring it in the church. You cannot run buddy-buddy with the world. Amen? Then you have revelings. Revelings mean to take great pleasure or delight, usually followed by luxury. Didn't I just tell you about these preachers of Hollywood? Riotous, merrymaking, love to party. I'm talking about Christians. This is not to the sinners. Galatians was not written to the sinners.
That's right.
He's talking to the Christians. Partying. Love to get high. Now they got this one thing called what? Is it a high on the spirit, but they smoking marijuana. But they say it's high on the Holy Ghost, but they literally getting high on marijuana. Y'all, wake up.
Sure.
He say, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear what I say? He said, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I know there's a lot of teaching going on disguised as grace. We know we're under grace. So had we not been for grace, I'd probably be struck down myself. But they're going saying that you can do anything. Kind of like also once saved, always saved. And you never have to repent. Because one call, that's all. No, you need to repent. You need to get it right with God. Many churches have been torn apart in splits because of the works of the flesh. Demon spirits use and operate through the flesh. They have no other jurisdiction or playing field. They live on the flesh. They feed on the flesh. They are strengthened by the flesh. So as long as the flesh has free course, demonic assignments continue.
Right.
Flesh influence, the sinner more than the saint. You can expect the flesh attacks from world and sinners. However, when Christians are seduced by the flesh, it does them great harm. And then you're wondering why you've been tormented by evil spirits. Some of us are just too fleshly. And that's what I just said. They linger around flesh. Crucify that flesh. Get that thing right with God. Some of us going to have to go on our face tonight. Because we know we're living contrary to what God called us to do. Amen? Flesh always causes strife. If you got a lot of fleshy people in your congregation, there's going to be a lot of strife. Okay? Flesh is full of self-deception. Many people today, they make their pastor out of some kind of idol. He can't do no wrong. Pastor is a man just like you. You pray for pastor, but he's a man just like you. You intercede on his behalf, but he's a man just like you. Paul, when they came trying to worship him, he said, get up, we're mere men just like you. I don't worship no mere man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray for you. I'll intercede for you. But I'm not going to worship you. Because you're not above sin either. But they have made shrines of some of these pastors. Amen? And a lot of the pastors are so mentally insecure that they get jealous of somebody coming in their church that may have a great anointing, a teaching anointing. Look, you the pastor, but you ain't called to be anointed in all areas. That's pride. You may be a good preacher or teacher or whatever, but there might be somebody anointed to do something else. Why are you going to try to hog the pulpit? That's pride. That's witchcraft. That's control. Stop using control over your congregation. That's not of God. Amen? So I believe I went over my 30 minutes. I didn't want to go. But just to sum it up, and evil spirits are attracted to the flesh. We know that. They attach themselves to the fallen sin nature of man. Witchcraft, it attacks itself through your thoughts, wicked thoughts, and your own thoughts. The devil puts suggestions in your mind that sounds like you're thinking them, and then you react to them when you're fleshy because you ain't going to rebuke them. You're just going to go along with you. He tell you, yeah, you want to go and fornicate tonight. Okay, uh-huh.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
You just agree with whatever he tell you. Come on, cleanse your mind, cleanse your mind. Witchcraft attacks also, it comes through others' attitude and body language. Be careful who you hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up other people's attitudes and spirits, and they'll be following you around. Be careful, sanctify yourself. But there is good news. Christ came to deal with the works of the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. The Son of God was made. He manifests that he may destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. So I want you to, I'm going to leave you with this. The devil knows that the flesh always cooperates with him, and Christ knows this too. So let's put our mind on Christ. Be more Christ-minded. Let's fleshly minded. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bobby. Amen. So
amen.
You guys
praise
be blessed.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're talking about carnal Christians, the flesh. And if you notice, everything that was mentioned in reference to the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the flesh, or the manifestation of the flesh, all of those things, if you really get down into it and think about it, they are manifestations of demonic and unclean spirits. They whisper things to you, but they are attracted to like minds. They are attracted to manifestations that is equivalent to them. So if you like to tell lies all the time, then you have a spirit that's going to attach to you to encourage you to keep lying, because that
carnality that flesh, as Evangelist Montgomery just said, attracts those foul spirits. But many times those foul spirits would speak things to you to cause you to manifest what they endeavor to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? They watch us. There's a thing called a familiar spirit. Now, many of you already know what that is, but this is a spirit that studies you. Yes, there is an evil spirit, a demonic spirit, a familiar spirit. Most of the time, it follows the family line, and it studies you. And it picks up on the things that you like to do. And when you have error and carnality in your life, it will attach to that thing. And it will increase that thing because here's the thing right here. And I'll go there, and then I'm going to go to the scripture. What we're talking about, whether you believe it or not, there's only two ways to go. Either you're going to be with God or you're going to be with the enemy, the devil. I said, no. I'll be truthful with you. If you're not, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're on the side of the enemy. And it matters not how good you are, okay, in the flesh, how knowledgeable you are in the flesh, how much money you have in this natural realm, how good you look. All that means absolutely nothing to God if you haven't accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior. All your righteousness is as a filthy rag compared to the righteousness of God and to the righteousness of Christ. It's nothing without Christ. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because all our being is in Christ Jesus. If it's not in Christ Jesus, as I said before, there's no in-betweens, so it's in the enemy or the devil. It's just like this. If you're up on something high and you don't have a ladder, say you're up on a three-story building, okay, I'm going to make it like this, and you step off of there, guess what? You're not going to hover in the air. You're going to hit the ground. So you're either up or down. There's no in-between. You don't float around. That's how it is in the things of God in the spirit realm. You're either in God or you're in the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why we're talking about these things. That's why we're talking about carnal Christians, works of the flesh, and witchcraft, because there is no in-between. Now, there is levels of maturity in Christ. There's levels in Christ Jesus. There's experience in Christ Jesus. There's knowledge in Christ Jesus. As the song used to say, Jacob's ladder every round goes higher and higher. The Lord didn't call us into his kingdom of light to just stay in one level. You say, well, why am I talking like this? Because the enemy would desire you to stay at the lowest level where he can control you, where he can exercise his will over your life. Because if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you will not know how to effectively fight and defeat the enemy. As I said before, we're in a war. There's no in-between. Believe it or not, the enemy is out to destroy you. One thing I can say about the enemy is he's an equal opportunity hater. Did you hear me? He's an equal opportunity hater and destroyer. And those he desires to destroy the most is God's people. Why? Because God's people are the ones that would encourage people to accept Jesus Christ, to encourage people to live righteous, to encourage people to accept the righteousness and holiness and sanctification of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Now, let me get into the word. I just wanted to bring that out because yesterday we talked about demons, demonic spirits, principalities, powers, and all these different things. But they're spirits, but they're spirits of the enemy. So we're letting you know that you don't want to invite these things to come to you because they're going to attack you anyway. So you don't want to just have the door wide open. You don't want to not have your armor on. You don't want to not have on the helmet of salvation or the breastplate of righteousness. You don't want to not have on the loins girded about with truth. You don't want to not have the shield of faith. You don't want to not have any of that equipment. You don't want to not have the sword of the Spirit. God has totally armed us and totally given us materials to fight with. But guess what? Although he's given it to us, you have to get it. You have to actually put it on. He said to put it on. What are you putting it on for? To fight against the enemy and to keep the enemy from defeating you. We have the victory in Christ Jesus, but there are things that we have to do. Now, the things that we're talking about are the very things that will cause us to weaken if we succumb to them. If we listen to the enemy, if we do what the enemy tells us, it weakens us. And any time that you hear things speaking to you that's not according to the word, and this might be common, but people still fall to it. Something to tell them to do something that you know is not right. Well, this thing is not telling you this just for you to slip up one time. It's telling you this so you can weaken and continue to do it and not repent. Because the enemy knows that when you step into sin and you don't repent of that error, all that sin, and you don't make it right, then you are on a dangerous ground. Because if you perish like that, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God because you have unrepentant sin that you have not put under the blood, that you have not been forgiven for. It's just like what Evangelist Montgomery said earlier in Romans 8 and 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, when it say live after the flesh, what that actually means is living in willful sin. You know you're messing up. You know you're doing wrong. But you continue in that. Now, some people think they can continue in this unrepentant sin, and they're going to make it into heaven before you do. Hear it all the time. God knows my heart. He knows my heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows your heart all right. He knows your heart is not right. He knows that. Now, we're just making it plain because it's to the body of Christ, and we're living in the last days. Jesus is on his way back. People of God, we got to step up this warfare. We can't continue to give the enemy everything. We can't continue to allow everything to go forth. As I said, we're living in the last days. Look at the things that's happening in the world. Look at the weather. Look at the hearts of men and women. Things are happening today. Look, I am 63 years old, and I have never, ever seen some of the things that's happening today. Never. But it's happening. Why? Why are these things happening? Because the enemy knows that he has but a short time, and he's trying to destroy as many people as he can before they wake up and realize that they have to accept Jesus Christ in their life, and the only way they can effectively defeat all these demonic spirits is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let me go into the Word of God here. And we're still talking about carnal Christians. And one thing I would like to say to you, just because the Lord God is not shooting thunderbolts and causing a massive flood like the floods of Noah time and burning up people with fire and opening up the ground and swallowing thousands of people because he's not destroying things in horrendous ways doesn't mean he's changed. God has not changed. The same way he felt about error and sin in the Old Testament and how he dealt with it back then, he still feels the same way today. Now, why am I saying this? To bring relevance to the Spirit of God, to bring relevance to the righteousness of God, to bring relevance to the holiness of God. Lord, have mercy. Because God... What the word say? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he feels the same way. His attitude has not changed toward error and sin and his people. Let me read to you. I'm coming out of Leviticus 20. And this is penalties for sinning. And why are we talking about this? Because sin is attributes of the devil, willful sin. Of course, you know, the scripture tells us that, yeah, we sin, but we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. We are not sinners. We do not live to sin. We live to please God. That's why in the New Testament, it calls us saints. It doesn't say that we are perfected and just do no sin whatsoever, but we have an advocate in Christ Jesus, and our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Our holiness is in Christ Jesus. Our sanctification is in Christ Jesus. But let me leave you some, bring the word to you in reference to the things that's happening now. Leviticus 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, or God's people today, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth away any of his seed unto Moloch, or we could say abortion, or the destruction of children, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given up his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy house. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth up his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now listen to this. We got to keep God's statutes. Sanctify yourself therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them, and I am the Lord which sanctify you. We want to thank the Lord for that word, but I would like to know how much time do I have. I'm getting ready to cut off. I have a few more scriptures I want to bring out, but do I have time to bring them out, brother?
You have a whole hour, sir.
All right, well, praise the Lord. Well, I want to go to another particular scripture here, and we're coming out of Jeremiah. What we're doing, we're not just pounding people in reference to error. What we're trying to bring out is the connection between error, sin, and all these things we have been talking about in the last couple of days in reference to principalities and demons. And Pastor Overton spoke the other day of the reality of demons. The reality of demons is the manifestation of these things that we're talking about. I would say this. Sometimes something might come to your mind, you know, and you think it's just your mind, but sometimes that's not your mind. Sometimes these are these evil spirits that's around you trying to convince you to step out of the will of God. Just for a moment. Because in that moment, these foul spirits can cause unimaginable hurt and damage to you in just that moment. I'd like to give you an example. Many times God speaks to us, and he don't always just preach to us all the time. Sometimes he'll just give us a word. He might just say, you might be driving down the street or something, and he'll just say, turn left up here at this light. You know it's the Lord, so you go up there and you turn left at the light. Now, sometimes he'll have you to turn left at that light because there's somebody that he wants you to minister to. And he has, and you're the only one that can minister to that person. So that's the word of God speaking to you in reference for you to help this other person. But sometimes the Lord will tell you to step another way, because in stepping that other way, you are avoiding danger. You are avoiding even death. You are avoiding harm. And let me give you an example of this. I worked in a place, I used to work in a mine. And I was down in this mine, and I was going to go a certain way, go around a certain way. And something told me not to go that way. Something told me to go around the other way. It was the Lord, you know, but we just say something.
Yeah,
but God told me to go the other way. The moment I walked around the other way, I heard a great crash. I heard something just fell out the ceiling. Boom! And when I looked around and I walked back over to see what it was, that whole ceiling had fell in. It fell in. If I had walked the other way and disregarded that voice, I wouldn't be here talking to you tonight. All right? Why am I saying this? Because we have to be sensitive to the word of God. We have to be sensitive to his voice. Remember what I said to you the other day about the sheep? How the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd? And the Lord Jesus said, a stranger, they will not even respond to. They won't even respond to it. That's how we should be in the Lord. That's how we should be in reference to the enemy. We should not even respond to anything that the enemy says or these foul spirits say. Because the one thing, demonic spirits and foul spirits, unclean spirits, what are they noted for? They're noted for lying. And deceiving people. So why would you even listen to them or even give them an audience at all? See, that's why we're talking about this here. Because a carnal Christian or somebody who's in the flesh, they're gonna listen to whatever comes to their mind. Hey, I want to go over here and jump off in this party, and the enemy got somebody over there waiting for you, want to take you out, want to hook you on some kind of drug, want to try to turn you out some kind of way, and you put yourself right in that environment. So you have to watch your environment also. You have to watch your environment, because you could put yourself in a bad environment full of foul spirits and demons. You walk out on the umbrella of Christ Jesus. Now, he's going to help you, but you make it hard for yourself when you do these things. Remember what I just read? Now, Jeremiah 19 reads, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take up an ancient of the people and of the ancients of the priests and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me. Remember what I said? God has not changed. God has not changed. The things that's coming upon this nation, this America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, because of all this error and sin, unrepentant sin, all this shed blood, all this murder of the innocents in this country, and the nation is not repenting of it, God says, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Be quiet, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents.
4,000 a day.
Abortion of babies to the tune of at least 4,000 a day. And people are not believers, not saints, but the majority of people are saying, okay, let us keep doing it. I'm proud of you. You have someone say, I'm proud of having an abortion. Got t-shirts on. I had an abortion and I'm proud. What? What? You sacrificed your baby to Moloch and you proud of that? What? Look at the shame. And the nation thinks they're going to go on and be blessed?
Hmm.
What? Wake up. Wake up, America. Wake up. Nor the kings, they have built also the high place of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. And I have commanded, and which I commanded not, nor spoke it. Neither came it into my mind. Did you hear that, people? God has not changed. The country has fallen into all kinds of satanic worship. All kinds of error. From the government all the way down. Steeped in all kinds of various religions that nobody ever heard of before. They're practicing it. Kabbalism. All kind of foreign deities has crept into the land. All kinds of perversion that you have never heard of in your life. And we're a righteous nation. And we're a Christian nation. But if you mention Jesus Christ in the schools, they started to kick you out. If you bring a Bible to school, you're going to get dogged out and talked about. But at the same time, you can study Harry Potter books, study Hinduism. You can study anything except Christ Jesus. Carnal Christians, work of the flesh, witchcraft, dominant in the land. What do we do? What can we do? We can live for Christ. We can pray. We can let his light shine through us so people can see the light and come out of the darkness. That's what we're here for. That's what a believer is about, that his light will shine, that the light of Jesus Christ will shine through him. Because a lot of people, many people don't even know what it is. It's almost to the point now that folks, I mean, they don't read the Bible. Read it. They have it in the house, but they don't know what's in it. They have things happening in their house. They don't know how to deal with it. They have foul spirits acting up, doing different things, crawling up the walls, pulling the covers off the bed, knocking stuff off. They don't know what to do because they don't really have a relationship with Christ. They're ignorant of the things of the Spirit. We want to educate you to the things of the Spirit. But if you're carnal, and if you're fleshy, and if you're messing around with witchcraft, one thing I want to say, and this is what a lot of folks don't understand, and then we'll be out the way in a minute. Just because you are ignorant of some things does not mean that those things won't negatively affect you. A lot of people in this country, they're ignorant of voodoo and hoodoo and witchcraft and all these Satanism and all this stuff. They're ignorant of those things. But at the same time, they'll go out and buy a Ouija board. They say, well, I don't believe in none of this stuff. I'll get into horoscopes, Ouija boards, tarot cards, palm reading, all this kind of stuff. It's just fun. There's nothing going to happen behind it. But see, the thing about that, all these things that I just mentioned has devils and demons attached to them. And when you start messing with those things, those same foul demonic spirits will jump over on you quick, fast, and in a hurry. Yeah. And because you don't have the power to keep them off of them, and you don't have the power to keep them from acting, they will totally torment and destroy your life. Yeah. Remember the sons of Sceva? They were exorcists, but they didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So they say, well, look here, man, look, seven sons of Sceva, I'm just going to just talk the way we talk. Look, we saw Paul and Peter and some of the disciples and some of the apostles. They were, you know, they were casting demons out of folks. So we going to go on over here, and we going to cast this thing out, this fellow over here. Yeah. And so they went over there, tried to cast the thing out, and the thing told them, say, look here. Say, who are you? You say, wait a minute. The demon say, I know Peter, and I'm getting to know Paul. He say, but who are you? What authority do you have over me? Do you have any relationship? I'm just making a plan. Do you have any relationship with Jesus Christ, sons of Sceva? They couldn't answer that question. So those devils beat them naked and beat them out of there. So what am I saying is you can't play with the devil, people. Don't play with him. If you have no authority in Christ, don't play with him. Leave the Ouija boards alone. Leave the tarot cards alone. Leave the palm readers alone. Leave those people that murder and peep alone. Stay out of that. Stay out of the psychic house. Drugs. Stay out of that. Leave the drugs alone because they carry spirits. Leave the alcohol alone. Don't be a drunkard.
That's why they call it spirits.
Say, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raising. Therefore, whosoever is deceived by it is not wise. God isn't saying these things because he don't want you to have fun. He's telling you these things because he knows that foul and demonic spirits are attached to certain things on this earth, and that's what they work through. And it doesn't matter if you're ignorant of it, because if you get involved in it, they will torment you and destroy you and keep you. The main goal is to keep you from accepting Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the whole goal of it. That's the whole goal of any foul demonic spirit or people that have no relationship with Christ or involved in all these different occult experiences. That's it. And we have to be strong in delivering the message of Jesus Christ and delivering the tactics of the enemy and what he does. And that's what we do.
Amen.
Brother, is there anything that you would like to say or add?
Or
are there any questions or anything of that nature? Hello?
I'm sorry, my line was muted. No, sir, I don't have anything to add at the moment, but I do want to open up a line or two here just to see if there's anybody that would like to give commentary on tonight's teaching, because it was on point, and I can't say that it was powerful. And, you know, a lot of people needed to hear that. You know, there's a lot of things going on out there, you know, that we say, you know, we're paying lip service, you know. A lot of us say that we are Christians and we pay lip service, you know, to God, and we're not living that lifestyle, you know. It's like we're one way, you know, it's like the light switch, you know. Either your light's on or your light's off, you know. And that's what's happening, you know. We see that so much. So let me go ahead and see here if I do have any callers that want to give commentary. Let's see, area code 404, Pastor John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I really enjoy it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you well.
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay. I mean, that session was really cool. I really like it, and he spoke on one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 8:14, talked about leading, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. What I picked up, which I really like, I made a few notes. You were saying, which I really enjoy, is that the Holy Spirit lives within the child of God. In order to lead him, I heard to think, speak, and act according to God's word. And you also said he leads primarily by what? Promptings that are inward, urgings him to do God's will and to put to death the misdeeds of the body. You mentioned also, you said that the spirit promptings come by what? Reading God's word. We need to get into his word by praying and by fasting and by listening to godly preaching and teaching and earnestly desiring and valuing the manifestations of the spirit. Another point that I really like, you said something about, I'm writing so fast, I'm trying to figure out my own writing. it says, shut up, man. He said, Christ, okay, we become weaker the longer believers resist obeying the Spirit's promptings, you know. And we result in spiritual death when rejected. And the spirit promptings comes by what? Reading God's word, praying and fasting. I think I just said that. Listening to godly preaching. Let me come down a little bit more. My notes says. And he also said in the word of God that Paul gives the basis for the assurance of salvation here. If we are consistently putting to death the misdeeds of the body, then the Spirit is leading us. Those led by the Spirit are the children of God. That's what we need to do. Be led by the Spirit of God. And one last remark. You see, all the suffering of this present age, sickness, pain, misery, disappointments, poverty, mistreatment, sorrow, persecution, and trouble of any kind must be considered insignificant when compared with the blessings, privilege, and glory that will be given to the faithful believers of the age to come. I enjoy it, man, because that's one of my favorite passages. That's Romans 8. We must be led by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. And he said Paul gives the basis for the assurance of salvation here. If we are consistently putting to death the misdeeds of the body, then and only then the Spirit is leading us. And those led by the Spirit are the children of God. And we must not take lightly those artifacts that we are using, like what you call Ouija boards and all the other kind of stuff. Don't take it lightly, because you open the doors for demonic possession. Mm-hmm. That was really really, really cool. That was really cool. You made one note I want to share last night you were talking about the principalities and stuff like that. You talked about the principalities, the powers. You talked about the rules of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness, and I really enjoy that. But one last note, I'm just going through my notebook here, that I really talked about unclean spirit. Here it is. And you shared Satan's name. You know, I had to write that stuff down. You were saying most of us know that Satan has more than one name. When Jesus went about delivering people and casting out demons, he called the demons out by a name. And some of the names you said he's called Lucifer and Devil, Beelzebub, the Adversary, you know, and Eliab, Dragon, Serpent, and so forth, talking about Prince Pat. Now, the last remarks, I'm about to have diarrhea of my Cool, John. He said, Principal, where is it? Oh, yeah, here we go. This is what I got. Principality. The word principality comes from the Greek word, akonik, which literally translated means first in ranking order. Principalities, right, got power, Satan, and are the highest ranking entities in Satan's army. They influence the affairs. Now, boy, you right on when you said this. They influence the affairs of humanity at a national level, impacting laws and policies. They are so purpose-specific that they often embody world leaders, you mentioned. You see, and also, and then you talk about powers, and it's the last thing I'm shut up. You see, powers. Next in the chain of command, we find powers. The Greek word for power, you said, which speaks of delegated authority. These are demonic spirits that derive their jurisdictional and delegated authority from principalities. They affect and infect structures, systems, and five pillars of our society, such as marriage, family, government, education, and church. I just want to my hats off to you guys. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise God.
And I'd like to add on to that as well.
Amen.
I was going to say, and you know, I didn't realize that revelation. It hit me last night about, you know, how, you know, you never really think, you always hear about, you know, the principalities, and you always think about, you know, it being in Satan's kingdom. But, you know, last night, you know, when you were teaching about that, that also hit me, you know, made me think, like, we don't ever think about, you know, the principalities that, you know, are in the kingdom of God, you know, that are in certain areas as well, you know, and it didn't hit me until last night. Like, you know what? It's the same thing, you know. We always think about it in that aspect of just, you know, powers and principalities being just evil, but, you know, we never think about, you know, the powers and principalities that, you know, are on our side, you know, and especially in the ministry of deliverance. So,
whole army.
And the wonderful thing about it, I want to bring out all the powers, principalities, and powers and angels are far more powerful than what the enemy has. And we have to remember that, because if we don't, then it's like you already have a defeatist attitude. I mean, think about it. If you go on to war, I'm gonna bring it down in the plane. If you go on to war, and you know all the weapons of your enemy is more powerful than what you have, then you, your mindset toward going to, into battle is going to be real weak. If you know that everything they got is greater than what you got.
But
what did the Lord say? The greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You see? So, you know, they, you know, Hollywood always want to build up the power of the devil. But who is in us, Christ Jesus and the Holy Ghost, is greater than anything that the devil has.
Amen.
That's the thing about it.
Amen. Amen. All right. It doesn't look like I have any other callers that are waiting in queue. But let's see here if I can click on 404, can you hear me?
Who's that you said? Who?
I had another 404, Brother Jones. That was another 404 in the queue. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's another 404? Oh, okay.
But that does look like.
One last comment. I happen saw here on this back page, scribbler. One thing I really enjoyed, too, is remember they gave the story about Daniel answering our prayers kind of a thing? And he said that these spirits operating in the second heaven frustrate and prohibit the manifestation and answers to believers' prayer. And he said perceptions, mindsets, ideology, and belief system are twisted and perverted to accommodate the person of these evil spirits. We got to recognize that sometimes our prayers are delayed because these principalities and all can interfere with it, and we must continue in prayer.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Continue.
Yeah, just because he doesn't come right back immediately, that don't mean anything. As you got some interference going on, so sometimes some of those angels have to call the great Michael the archangel. Help me here. Yeah. I'm trying to answer the sister's prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoy it because I'm finally learning the deliverance ministry, and the last 8 months now, I've been diligently studying, you know, spiritual warfare by Richard Haynes. and Cindy Trim, Rules of Engagement, and what else? Spirits of Engagement by Derek Prince, and Blessing and Curse by, I got a little manual called Daily Declaration for Spiritual Warfare by John Eric.
Oh, all
right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So God bless you guys. Appreciate you.
Amen. Well, we are honored to be here on tonight, and if there's nothing else, Bishop, Pastor can close us out in prayer.
Amen.
All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for the revelation that you gave. We thank you for the power that you exhibited on tonight.
Father,
and Father God, we thank you for all those who listen and all those who you have set free by your word, Father God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ
of
Nazareth, amen and amen.
Amen. Well, we were blessed. Are we scheduled tomorrow as well?
I will have to check with Brother Emmett. I'm pretty sure if he will get in contact with you if you are on tomorrow. So I'll just wait for him to do that, and then we'll go from there.
Hey, Mike, they're on tomorrow. I'm doing an exorcism. They're on tomorrow. I'm doing an exorcism. They're on. I got to go.
All right. Well, you all have a blessed evening, and we will see you on tomorrow.
All right.
All right. Amen.
Bye.
God bless you.
Be blessed. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we would like to thank you for listening in, tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Please sow a seed here if you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you have heard. Also, don't forget that the Montgomerys will be back again with us tomorrow night. Kingdom of God Ministries will be here once again with us tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Now, with that being said, we would like to go ahead and close out and say thank you for tuning in. Shalom. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again tomorrow night here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Good night, everyone.